Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I present people who are part of this ongoing revolution and evolution of spiritual understanding, and that's happening all over the world, and tonight's guest is very much involved in this transformation, this global transformation. Her name is Shyla Nelson, and she's an internationally renowned classical singer, voice trainer, choral coach, and she's played with such people as Paul Winter and Pete Seeger. She's also the founder of the Good Earth Singers, and she has a worldwide project she's going to be telling us about. Thank you, Shyla, for being here.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, well, I'm always interested in the arts and how people are expressing themselves that way, because I really think that's part of our evolution, is our creative expression. Wouldn't you agree?
I would absolutely agree with you. There is something about expressing ourselves creatively that rehumanizes us. It reconnects us, I think, to our humanity and to one another as a result.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I actually have been researching creativity. What an expression, what do you think it does, expressing ourselves in this other form, this creative, active participation? How does it affect us?
I think that it affects us in many ways, Alan. I think to begin with, depending on what assumptions we might hold about what it means to be human, I think you and I and your listeners would agree that there is something transcendent about being human. There is some essence or quality, whatever we might call it, an infusion of spirit or soul that we have the opportunity to connect with in a co-creative way when we engage the imagination, when we engage ourselves in expressing ourselves on a creative level. We tap into the very source of what brought forth life in the first place. And I think that that appeals and connects us on a very deep level, not only to the creative forces of the universe, but also on a very deep level to one another. And then I also think as individuals, when we do so, we cast a very powerful lens onto our own life experience and our own life journeys. And as a result, I think we also get the privilege of seeing into the experience and the diversity of experience of other human beings. And I think in that process, we have the privilege of elevating the human experience to something for all of us to see truly as a work of art.
Right. I like what you're saying. So in our own creative process, inspiration, it's spirit flowing through us. We recapitulate the creation itself, in a sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so we make you, because I feel we are here, humans having a human experience. You know, people say we're spiritual beings having a human experience. I think we're human beings having a human experience, which is not to say we're not spirit, but we have to recognize what it is to be human, which is what you were saying. And this humanness is so much connected to creativity, expression, and communication with each other. I think we're here, we've incarnated in a world together.
Yes. Yes, it does matter that we are physically here.
Yes, I think that is so important. A lot of spiritual seekers sort of forget that. Why do you think it matters that we're physically here?
I think that a big part of what we're seeing in the evolution of human consciousness right now, Alan, speaks to an acute need. I would describe it as an acute need for us to reclaim the sanctity of physical life, of physical existence, that we have, for various reasons, had influences over the course of the evolution of human consciousness, and understandably so, that have, in a way, separated us, that which is spiritual can't possibly be physical. or that which is physical can't possibly be spiritual. I think there's a great healing underway in that regard, in the evolution of the consciousness of humanity, to reclaim the naturally ennobled dignity, beauty, grace, and wonder of what it means for us to be inhabiting these physical forms on this physical orb that we call Earth.
Beautiful. That is so beautifully expressed. And I do think it is the wonder and magic of spirit to be in flesh, to incarnate, to feel the senses, to appreciate this life experience and to find joy in the body as an expression of spirit, you know?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it has been a long time coming, and I'm excited and encouraged by those signs that we're beginning to see as we look at what it means to work with the body in certain ways that that really ennoble, again, that I just keep coming to, that ennoble our bodies, what it means to be human, and in no way diminishes the significance of this infusion of spirit that also animates these physical forms, but holds them all as integral and in balance.
No, I think it adds to that, and actually, I don't know how much of your personal story you want to share, but I get the sense from what I know of you, there was a moment for you where that realization of the body became a deep reality. There was a transformational moment for you, particularly if you want to share some of that, not the details, but the general or whatever you want to share of how you truly got that, because you do really have that, and you're communicating that so well.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, I'd be happy to speak to that. You're absolutely right. I had an experience at 20 years old where I very nearly lost my life. I did have a near-death experience, and coming out of that experience as a result, it was a result of a long-standing illness. Coming out of that experience, I really understood in a whole new way, really on a cellular level, the miracle of what it means for us to be physically here. I don't know how else to describe that. Any of your listeners who have had similar experiences, I think, will know exactly what I'm speaking to. There's a certain elemental, transformational shift that happens, I think, when we meet our mortality in such a vivid way. And I think that we can't help but be fundamentally reorganized as human beings coming back from an experience like that. And that was very much the experience for me.
And doesn't it make everything so exciting then?
You know, it really does. It is very much like having a new pair of glasses, a whole new perception. I've had other experiences since then that are similar but not nearly as vivid, and out of each one of those I find that I'll encounter someone at the grocery store, at the checkout, or just passersby on the street, and I find that I'm compelled to really look another human being in the eye and say thank you. And there's a whole new level of interactivity and appreciation for presence that I have experienced, and I certainly experienced in a very powerful way in my 20s coming out of that that particularly powerful experience of mine.
Well, you're such an up person, upbeat, high energy, enthusiastic. I mean, I guess you can't imagine you anybody else. But the other thing about what you're saying is this idea of being a singer or speaking, using your voice, because singing particularly is bringing the internal reality and emotion and sharing that with the world through that expression, through that the sound of your own musical voice, you know? I mean, there's a sort of metaphysical understanding of that, of bringing the inner spirit out to be shared. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite topics, Alan. For me, the magic of the art of singing, and I do believe every human being does have the capacity to sing. It's a very important part of the message that I share with the world. The magic of singing to me is that we are continuously dancing back and forth between the metaphysical and the physical. It's exactly what you were saying, that we have a thought form. The thought form leads us to want to move the body in a particular way, to vibrate vocal folds that bring forth sound. Somewhere in that process, the non-physical becomes physical, and then it becomes non-physical again because it then becomes sound wave and vibration, which then meets the other human being or beings who hear and experience vibrationally a physical sensation. So it moves this constant oscillation between that which is metaphysical or non-physical into physical, back and forth and back and forth. To me, there's an incredible alchemy and beauty in that, which I have experienced in no other place as powerfully as I have with my own experience, both as a listener of other human voices and also as a singer myself.
Well, you're an opera singer, and but the thing about it, and I've never quite understood opera, but I'm open to. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, it's singing, it's great. I mean, they have great voices, but maybe you'll explain it to me sometime. But the singing itself is the power of feeling and emotion to be communicated. And that's what I think is so powerful about that.
Yes, in many ways, singing acts as a magnifying lens for the scope of human emotion. Mm. When we experience fear, when that fear is rendered into some form of song, it takes on a certain vivid quality. And similarly, if we're experiencing joy rendered in song exponentially magnifies the joy. So it's true that song and singing has the capacity to heighten those experiences, those textures of human emotion that we encounter in our daily lives.
Well, because it's like soul to soul or feeling to feeling. That's what it seems like is coming through, right?
Yes, yes. And you're also dealing in the realm of tone, this realm of sustained vibration and expression that by its very nature opens us up, makes us more vulnerable in a sense. When we sing, we are really exposing dimensions of who we are on a soul level, on an emotional level, that might otherwise not be expressed in the same way. There's something very soft and very open and very vulnerable about that process.
Well, you said everyone is a singer. My mother told me I couldn't sing. And I do like singing in the shower.
But, good.
But I like singing, I think, but I really don't understand, and I know it's sort of very basic, this idea of tone and harmony and note and pitch, all those subtleties. I mean, is that important, or because qualified, trained musicians have this whole sense of harmony and tone. I have no sense of that at all. So, I mean, how important is that?
It's a very thoughtful question, Alan, and I think that the answer would vary depending on which lens through which you might be looking at the whole phenomenon of singing. There are certain artists who are exceptionally gifted musicians, exceptionally gifted technicians of the human voice, who understand the laws of physics within the human body that make it possible to maximize a beautifully balanced resonant sound, who may not have any awareness or understanding of the luminous, transcendent qualities of what it actually means on a soul level to be able to do that. And you might similarly have an artist who is very gifted at understanding that dimension, who may not have the full command of the instrument of the voice from a physiological perspective. So you find that depending on which perspective one is looking, you know, through which lens, the question of importance will vary depending on which perspective you adopt. All of that having been said, it is my personal feeling that in really paying attention to the power of the human voice, our work is to endeavor to understand to the deepest level we can all of those different aspects and how we might together bring those more fully into our own consciousness, even if it's just for the benefit of our own individual practice, even in the shower, just the joy and the pleasure of bringing forth song in whatever context, whether it's singing for our families, singing by ourselves, singing for friends, singing in a concert, whatever the application, singing on the streets, wherever we might bring forth our own soul's song, if you will, the more we understand about the physical aspects and also about the emotional and spiritual aspects of singing, I think the richer the experience is both for us and also for our listeners.
So you're saying I could sing in the shower, but be on key, whatever that means exactly, and have a better experience of singing in the shower?
Yes, because what it would indicate to me, if you are singing on key, it would indicate that your body is resonating in a harmonious way with the tonal frequencies that you're intending.
Oh, thank you. I get that.
Yeah, it's a barometer. It's a measure of the degree to which our bodies have assimilated and integrated the sensation of literally moving tone through the body.
So I see. So that's part of the harmonics of being. I mean, but it's training. It takes training to listen to what that is and then to duplicate and create that, right? It's a two-way street, listening and sharing.
I think so, although I would definitely want to hold this notion of training in the most holistic framework that we can, because in many circles in which I travel, training can become this very calcified drilling the voice, you know, singing certain vowels in a certain way over and over and over again, which can have the effect of actually taking one farther away from true human tonality. So it's an important, I think, really about the process of training the voice is very much akin to the practice of meditation, that bringing a certain reverence to the process, a certain patience to the process, and also a gentleness really makes certain things possible that otherwise simply can't be drilled into the process of developing a deeper relationship with the voice.
I mean, I think you did, what you said also about tone and bringing ourselves into a resonance, and that's a healing aspect too, and we kind of make a certain sound that we feel is whole. There's a wholeness that resonates in the body, would you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most, I would actually argue, it is the most powerful instrument we have. Mm-hmm. The human voice, to be able to understand how it is that our bodies themselves are comprised of vibration, our capacity to express ourselves using the power of our voice really taps us, you know, reconnects us and taps us back into that very powerful co-creative energy that we were talking about at the beginning of our conversation.
And there's something also I just want to ask you, because this is really your field. You've been studying this. There's something about harmony and the harmony I don't actually know what it is, but I can hear it when it exists. And there's a resonance then between two beings that does something metaphysical too, beyond, you know, just the physical, right? Would you say?
I would wholeheartedly agree with you, Alan, and to me, that is one of the great mysteries and great wonders of what it means to be, again, inhabiting these physical forms, something does happen to us when we bring forth sound from our own voices and then are met by the sound of other human voices singing a tone that is in some way related in a harmonic way to the tone that we might be bringing forth. Something happens to us, and of course there are all manner of brilliant, gifted sound physicists and scientists who understand this from a scientific perspective. There are whole dimensions to me. When we bring forth our voices, we're bringing forth a stream of light, if you will, that is very much a microcosmic representation of the universe. And we're met, when we harmonize, we're met by that same energy in it from another human being. And very much in the spirit of the notion that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, there is some divine other that is brought forth as a result of the alchemy between those two voices. And any one of us who've had the experience of harmonizing and singing with others, even if it's just singing "Row, Row Your Boat" with friends as children, we know that something happens in that process that changes us on a cellular level.
I've never heard it put that way, and it was sort of what I was going for, but didn't have the vocabulary. So this harmony is the producing of this third divine essence that is manifested. It's like the Vesica Pisces, the two circles interlocking to form this third thing.
Yes. And on a sound physics level, often when those intervals are achieved and there is a pure harmony between those two voices, it actually cascades or sets off the process of the overtone sequence. So in a very real way, we're also experiencing those overtones, and we may not consciously be aware of them when they happen, but there is a shimmering quality to the sound that we do experience on some level of our awareness when that happens. And I would say that is the sound wave embodiment, if you will, or representation of that divine third, that shimmering quality that we know when we hear it.
Wow. So what's an overtone, though? Because I've heard that word.
It is essentially the byproduct of the vibration of two tones meeting in a way that allows for purity of resonance that then sets off this other process. And the overtone sequence itself begins with a series of intervals. It's not just one tone if it's achieved in the purest way. And there's a whole sequence, actually, of different intervals, octaves, fifths, etc., that then are set in motion and create a very high arc of harmonics that span out in sound wave vibrations from the original two tones.
Wow, so you're actually creating universes in a sense.
Exactly.
Wow, that's amazing.
Exactly. And when we look at some of the indigenous stories of our ancient forebears, so many of the creation stories that we see across various cultures speak about the creator as singing the world into being or voicing the world. We know that there is something that happens in this creative process that connects voice to voice with, again, our capacities to create, as you say, create universes through tone.
It's amazing that singing is present in all human cultures, whether they've been connected or not to each other. Singing seems to happen.
Yes. And for every imaginable activity of human life.
Huh. The other thing I want to ask you, which I'm trying to understand, this idea of making a sound and hearing a sound while you're making it it's a very complex thing that humans are doing there. It's, I don't think the animals do that. We're putting this note out and we're hearing it and we're then interacting with what we're hearing and speaking or putting out and coming in. You know, it's a motor sense phenomena. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. The way that I describe this to the students or clients with whom I work is if you can imagine for a moment that you're standing near a baby grand piano, and inside the piano is a soundboard. The soundboard has pegs on it which wrap certain strings around the pegs. And then, of course, the keys themselves have, you know, hammers that are attached, and they strike the strings, which vibrate the soundboard. Now, the soundboard itself is surrounded by a wooden box, and it is the solid wood of the box that helps to amplify the vibrations out into a room. So imagine that for a moment. Now, try to imagine what it would be like if the brain processing mechanism that you have within your own brain actually were somehow planted somewhere inside the box of that piano. And try to imagine whether you could accomplish any kind of objective awareness of the sound that's being produced outside in the room from your vantage point inside the box. Mm-hmm. And I use that metaphor to describe the complexities of what it means for us to bring forth sound, recognizing that the very resonant capacities that we have within our bodies actually reside to a large extent, not exclusively, but to a large extent in our skulls. And our skulls happen to be the bony structure that protects the brain and all of those mechanisms that allow us to assimilate and evaluate the sound that's being brought forth. It's impossible for us to be objective or to be able to step outside of that experience to really understand what it is that we are hearing. And that to me speaks very much to the core of what I think you're reaching for here, which is the notion that it is a highly complex process for us because we are both creating the sound. We are also the instrument itself.
Right.
And we also have this meta-awareness that is continually reaching for an understanding of itself on top of all of that.
Right. That is such a complex neurological development that, people just do. They just do it. They don't even think about it. They sing, they hear, they harmonize, they create, and the details,
yes.
Again, like you say, is sort of a hallmark of our humanness.
Yes. Yes. And well said.
So it's just very interesting. I don't know what there is to do about that, but I think to just notice from a neurological, scientific point of view, this ability to make sound and hear it at the same time is a sort of, I think it helps us coordinate other activities in the world, you know? It's a development of...
Definitely. And we also have an increasing body of research that is being done by scientists that indicate the degree to which singing and voicing actually has an immense benefit, health benefit to the human being. Improvements in overall stress rates, reduction of stress, improvements in respiratory health. That, in fact, there are some extraordinary stories of individuals who have even healed themselves of certain forms of cancer as a result of using intentional tone and voicing and vibration in order to rework the cellular structure of cells that had become cancerous. It's quite extraordinary. So there's a very exciting body of knowledge that I think is also in the process of being brought more and more fully into a more widely understood audience to explore and to examine really what it means. It's, the implications are quite powerful.
Right, and I'm glad you brought up healing, because we can get into this next phase of what you're doing with the Good Earth Singers as a global grassroots movement, and I'm reading from your website, your is to heal humanity's relationship with the Earth. So you've taken all this knowledge and all this training and all this insight, and you've created this organization. Tell us what you're doing and your vision.
Yes, the Good Earth Singers was born, if you will, on Earth Day of last year, and I would say it was an idea or an inspiration that was in gestation for me for about 3 years, and it was clearly time. And what came through as the initial idea was bringing together members of our community to simply sing together with the intention of celebrating our sacred connection to the Earth. Out of that, I sent off an email on Earth Day of last year to people who are part of my mailing list as a performing artist, and within an hour, I began to receive responses from all over the world. And the response was, yes, absolutely, the time has come. This is great. We can't wait to hear what it is that you want to do with this. It was stunning to me. I actually didn't expect to have such a widespread response. I mean, I was, of course, thrilled by it, but I also realized in that process over those few hours as I was getting response after response after response from South Africa, from Israel, from England, from Norway. I mean, it was just amazing, was that we seem to have, we've touched on something very close to the hearts of a lot of human beings who recognize at this time that we are in a very tentative place in our relationship with the Earth. The Earth is in transition. There's a lot of change happening. There are a lot of human beings who are feeling very fearful about that. And going back to what we said earlier in our conversation, Alan, about tapping into the co-creative capacities that we have available to us by using our voices in intentional ways, it seemed to be a natural response to some of the fear, to the transition that we're going through, to create opportunities for human beings to gather in community, simply to sing together, not with any performance outcome necessarily, not even with the necessity of needing to read music or to audition, but literally to just get communities together, singing together. And in our case, we have potluck suppers that happen either before or after singing, to remind humanity of our intrinsic musicality and our ability to create community through song.
Wait, so specifically I'm trying to understand, your vision is to just get people in community singing together, but there's more to it, right? I mean, give us the details of what your vision is with the Good Earth Singers and how other people can participate even.
Yes, yes, thank you. The evolution of the vision from that initial impulse, that initial spark of inspiration, came to me actually as a result of a rather deep meditative process. And what we have committed ourselves to, and ourselves means really the thousands of people so far who are already around the world part of this movement, working together over the next 2 years to create recordings of one song that is going out around the world with the intention of gathering 15 million voices worldwide to then be created into a film event that will be debuted on December 21st, 2012. And that process will take on many different forms over the next 2 years. We already have specifically Good Earth Singers communities in towns all over the world, and we would love to hear from any of your listeners who would like to start their own Good Earth Singers communities, wherever in the world they might be. We'd love to know about that. And we say to each of these communities, sing whatever lives in your community. Sing what songs are appropriate to your culture, to your traditions. We have this one song, which I'll be telling you about in a moment, that we'd like every group to sing. But then outside of that, we want to hear the songs that really live in your individual, you know, your unique community. Record yourselves, video record yourselves, load it up onto the web so that we can hear you and share those songs with each other and create in that process a global song community. In addition, Alan, we're also connecting with already existing choruses and vocal ensembles who are coming into the fold as what we would call allies of the movement. So they already exist under another name, whatever that ensemble name might be, but they become allies of the Good Earth Singers. And in their relationship with us, we are creating an opportunity for them to also be acknowledged as a member of the family, if you will. And in so doing, we're also creating an opportunity for different choirs who share a common philosophical orientation to get to know each other around the world.
Right. So, okay, we'll get to the specific song, but if I want to start a Good Earth Singing group or movement, what would I do? How would I do it?
Well, the first thing that I would suggest is to contact us, and there are a couple of ways you can do that. The first would be to visit us on our Facebook page and send us a message about who you are and where you're located, and let us know that you're interested in doing so. Or you can also contact us at Shyla, S-H-Y-L-A, at goodearthsingers.org to get more information about what it is that we're doing. The next step is really quite simple.
What's your Facebook page called?
It's called The Good Earth Singers.
Okay.
So one can find us on Facebook. And at the present time, that is the place where we are posting the most up-to-date information on what's happening with the movement. Is we're using Facebook as you know, obviously social media right now, as our way of keeping people as up to date as possible as we are in the early stages of this movement. Our website is presently under construction, but there is a splash page that on our website, which is goodearthsingers.org, where people can also sign up to be part of our mailing list as we get announcements out about major stages of the development of the mission. But back to your question about what one can do after letting us know who you are, the next step is to reach out to your own community using the communications and information that we have on our Facebook page and also on our website to say, hey, this is a global movement. Here's what's happening. We want to be part of it. And start your own group. And each group may find, you know, that there are different ways that they would want to gather. Some will gather weekly. Some might gather monthly. Some might decide they want to have a potluck as part of their evening community gathering. They might decide to have rotating song leaders or one individual song leader. And the songs that might be sung could vary, again, culture by culture, community by community. What we would ask is that by all means, you know, to use the forms of communication that are now available to us, even just handheld phone video recordings of songs that are being sung at these gatherings, share them with us through YouTube or other forms of media sharing online so that we can get to know these various song lines, these community song lines, as they live in each community.
Well, I'm sure people will do that, but there's also a lot of established singing groups, choirs, people who have been doing this a long time, and I think it's important that those people already established in singing groups focus
yes.
on this song that you've singled out, and you know, they could add that to what they're already doing So yes, talk about that.
Yes, yes. And I'm so moved by the number of choirs or already existing choruses, as you say, who have already come forward and said, we wholeheartedly support this mission and this project, and have come in as allies, as I was saying earlier. And what we are asking them to do, and we are also asking these community groups and others, even families, to do, is to be prepared to sing. We actually recorded this past weekend the footage for some instructional videos that are going to go out through YouTube of this song that we are preparing to bring into the world 15 million strong in 2 years. So a little bit about this song. The actual piece itself comes from the Yoruba tribe based in Nigeria and in Ghana, in this case in Nigeria. The name of the song, which may be familiar to some of your listeners already, is a song by the name of Ishe Oluwa. It's a beautiful African chant, very simple, very beautiful in its harmonic structure, this Yoruba chant. The two lines, the two primary lines of the hymn or chant are Ishe Oluwa Kole Baje O, which simply means that which the Creator has made can never be destroyed, which feels like a beautiful, simple, affirmative statement about the sanctity of our created world, our earth, and her integrity, and our own ability to hold a sacred space for her wholeness and her integrity.
And this was you who found the song and decided this is the one that will unite the world?
Well, yes and no. The way that I like to describe our relationship with this song, people say, well, how did you choose this song? And I think that the truest answer I can give, Alan, is that the song really chose us.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, and this is, you know, true in you see in any song-based movement that this often happens. We saw it in the civil rights movement in America with We Shall Overcome. And I had the privilege of hearing the history of how that emerged as the anthem from Pete Seeger himself in one of our visits over the summer.
Did he write that song, Pete Seeger?
No, actually, it was originally a hymn that had a much more up-tempo beat to it, and then it was taken into this slower tempo and at a gathering of songwriters and singers who were committed to this movement. It emerged one night in a kind of jam session as this just incredible transcendent sound. And really took from there. And in many ways, that's actually what happened with this song, Ishe Oluwa, and our various Good Earth Singers gatherings around the world. Something happens. You know, we've had many gatherings where we sing lots of different songs from all over the world, and every one of them is beautiful. But there was something that we observed, all of us experiencing together, something that happens when we sing this particular piece. And so I then began to teach it in other settings around the world, and I do that now on a regular basis. You know, I've been brought in to present at conferences that are absolutely not about singing. They might be about, you know, other, you know, people working on global solutions in other fields. But I actually get everybody singing, and I get people singing in four-part harmony, and of course, the astonished looks on their faces for me that they're actually doing it and it sounds beautiful is one of the greatest joys of my life. So the song itself really chose us.
Well, could you just, I mean, you gave us the words. Is it possible just to hear what it actually sounds like in just a simple way so we hear the melody or something about it?
Sure. I will sing it. I will sing what we would consider to be the alto line, even though I'm actually a soprano by training, but I'll sing the alto line, which is really the melody of this song. And what I'll do, Alan, is sing all the way through, you'll notice that there's a certain repetitive quality to especially the second part of the piece, and that is by design. And sure, I'd be happy to sing it through. Ishe Olua Kule Bajeo Ishe Olua Kule Bajeo Kule Bajeo Kule
There's a vibration in that song. There's a intensity that it's energetic. It's not just listening. It's something else I felt in my thank you. Thank you for sharing your voice and your vision. So your vision, though, is for 15 million people to sing this on December 21st, 2012, or...
Yes, well, over the course of the next 2 years, Alan, what we're going to be doing is collecting the footage, the video film footage of a total of 15 million people over the next 2 years. Obviously, prior to December 21st, our intention is to have collected all of that footage to then be edited into a film that would be debuted at live events around the world on December 21st, 2012. As you and I know, there are a lot of really extraordinarily beautiful activities already planned for that remarkable transition day. And what we will be doing is working to integrate the screening of this film, which we imagine is not going to be a full-length film per se, but really a film that gathers together footage from all over the world, sequenced one after another, totaling 15 million. And, of course, during those screenings, we will also be asking people to sing along with the film as a way of just further illuminating, further magnifying the majesty of the sound itself.
Right. And the words mean again, can you translate those words?
Certainly. The words are, that which the Creator has made can never be destroyed.
So that is the message of moving into this new time that you've been given to share with the world and to partake in this. And And do you want to just say a little bit about this higher spiritual experience that you had in relationship to this vision?
Certainly, Alan, I'd be happy to speak to that. As I mentioned earlier in our conversation, I had a near-death experience at 20, and I have no problem sharing that I'm now 42 years old, and it's a miracle to have made it this far. And when I was on my 39th birthday in 2007, I made a commitment to, I devoted my entire year from 39 into 40 to a very deep meditation and prayerful journey as I was approaching not just my 40th birthday, which regardless of whether it's midlife or not, I believe it's significant for any human being to walk the earth for 40 years. You know, we might be here for 50 years. We might be here for 110 years. 40 may or may not be midlife. But 40 years, there's something numerologically, there's something significant about walking the earth for 40 years. And on top of that, I was approaching, of course, the 20th anniversary of this experience I had had. So in preparation for that threshold of turning 40, I gave my entire year to asking one simple question in meditation and in prayer every single day for a year. And the question was simply this: how can I best serve? Every single day. And I went about my daily life looking for clues for answers. And paying attention to every conversation that I had, whether it was at the grocery store checkout or at the gas station or picking up my children at school or walking down the street, any interaction, any communication with another human being, to listen as deeply as I could to what they were saying about their own lives, to what they were saying, and listening on a very deep level for an entire year. And 13 days before my 40th birthday, I had a visionary experience while I was meditating. And it was a very powerful experience, quite startling. But it was the beginning of an invitation to bring my work into the world in a more extensive way. And within 2 months of that experience, my work on this level had gone global and has expanded ever since.
So your vision was this, it crystallized into this sort of service.
Yes, very much about understanding that my work was to bring a renewed awareness of the power of the human voice to heal humanity's relationship with the earth.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So people can gather around and sing this song, and they can find the words for this African song on the website, on Facebook as well?
Yes, we do have, we actually have the words. And as I mentioned, we recorded we recorded 120 voices, all volunteers who came together spontaneously on Saturday to record the song itself. And we'll be soon posting instructional videos for people to be able to watch and sing along with in order to learn the song as well.
Oh, you just did this past Saturday. You recorded 120 people.
We did. It was amazing. We had an incredible day.
Oh, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It was great fun.
And now you're off tomorrow to around the world. This is your, tell us what you're doing.
Yes, tomorrow I have the privilege of heading to the Bahamas, where I will be doing a number of Good Earth Singers events. We have an island-wide event. If any of you are listening from the Bahamas, we will be in New Plymouth on Friday evening at St. Paul's Anglican Church. We are hoping that we will have the presence also of the Prime Minister, and I'll also be spending the day with some of the wonderful Bahamian school children singing this song. We'll also be singing, of course, on Friday night and recording our very first footage of children singing as part of our 15 million member global choir. So really looking forward to spending some time also listening to and recording some of the song traditions of the Bahamian culture as well, which is a big part of what I'm also doing as I travel around the world to these other places, is also identifying and building bridges to those who are the keepers of the song wisdom of the cultures that we visit, and creating opportunities for them to be recorded so that we also have a place where we are remembering through song the stories of our humanity, that all that has led us to this point where we are now.
Mm. Are you going to Africa where the song is from?
Yes, yes. And I've had some wonderful communications with the tribe in Nigeria.
Oh.
Tentative plans are taking shape for me to be there in 2011. I will go to also receive the blessing of the elders, which we have received through Skype, through video. But I will go there in person and sing with them and spend some time there. I'm very much looking forward to that journey.
Wow, this is really exciting. I'm very happy we had a chance to sort of launch some of it here to let people know around the world that they can become part of this movement, be a Good Earth Singer themselves.
Yes, everyone is a member, every human being. You're already in.
Right, even if you think you can't sing, right?
That's right. My job is to change your perception of that.
Thank you. You've already changed mine.
Yay.
And so to be a Good Earth Singer, to just do your thing, you go to the Facebook page, Good Earth Singers, and you can start to have your group of friends start to sing the song and other songs, and then you'll have a website to upload these videos to.
Exactly, Alan. That's exactly what we're working on right now.
Oh, thank you. I have to wrap up here. I've been talking to Shyla Nelson. Your website again is?
www.goodearthsingers.org.
Thank you for sharing all this. Well, we'll do another program when you get back from your travels.
And I would love that.
It was really fun for me to hear what you had to say and learn about more of who I am through my voice, you know? So,
wonderful.
Thank you, Shyla. I'll talk to you soon. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and I'm speaking this weekend at Alex Gray's Chapel of Sacred Mirrors in Wappinger Falls, New York, on crop circles, a popular topic for the show. You can find out at COSM.org, and also check my website, newrealities.com, for other listings and events, and email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. I'm going to end with this song by Chris Williamson, The Song of the Soul. So thank you for listening, and listen next week.
Sing out the song of the soul and sing it.